Today's reading is from Colossians chapter 3, 1-17. Rules for holy living. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish each other with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
We're in a series, hopefully the slides will come up in a moment, called Life on Our Front Lines. And last week I explained why we're doing the series. And if we were going to just cut to the chase, it's because our God is passionate about people. We realize in life that it's not things that are important. It's people. The older we get, the more we realize that. But the more that you dig into Scripture, the more you realize that actually God is just absolutely passionate about humanity. He made us to be part of his family. That's the reason why we exist. And of course, so many people are not aware of this remarkable love that God has, which is why he created church. And he created us so that we could actually share this remarkable news that whatever color we are, whatever background that we're from, whatever life has thrown at us, whatever mistakes that we've made, that God doesn't condemn us or judge us. He loves us and longs to restore us, to heal us, to bring us into his family. That's why this church exists and has existed for that purpose for many, many years. And under my leadership, that's what will continue to be the main thing that we are focusing on, that the vast majority of people out there in Wales, we're talking about 95% of the people never darken the door of a church unless they go to a funeral or a wedding or whatever. But so they do not know this incredible love that is actually pouring out to them day by day. And we have people whose lives are hurting, they're broken, they need healing, and they're trying all different places to find meaning. And we have these remarkable truths that Jesus longs to heal and restore them. When I was preparing for this, I couldn't get out of my mind that picture of Jesus just before that Good Friday on Palm Sunday, coming to Jerusalem, and looks over the city and weeps over it. He weeps over it because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And as we look at our nation, as we look at our communities, as we look at the streets that we live, the vast majority of the people do not know that Jesus came to die for them. The next slide, please. I think this is important. If the one on the left represents what we're doing right now, gathering for worship, and please hear this, I'm a big, big believer in us gathering for worship. I think God does things in our time of worship that can't be done when we're separate. But we can't stay together. We come together to go out onto our front lines. And those the square on the right represents us, those red dots, where God has placed us. And your carriers, if you're believers in Jesus Christ, you love him as a savior, you've been placed there as salt and light, as we've been reminded in our prayers. You are the very presence of Jesus amongst those people. It's an incredible privilege and an amazing responsibility. And that's why in this passage, it talks about how we are to appear when we're with these people. That actually what they smell on us, they have the aroma of Christ, not of rotten fish. I remember many years ago, I lived up in Scunthorpe, which is called the industrial garden town of the north. A massive steelworks everywhere. It was like Port Talbot, but three times the size. So just picture it, okay, this industrial garden town of the north. So Sue and I lived there, that's when we first got married, we were living there. And one of the things that I used to do, I was in finance then, I used to go to different places to try and get business, and one of the places was Grimsby Docks. And so I used to go to Grimsby Docks, and the lovely fish merchants there, I was doing business, and they would say to me, Dave, do you fancy any fish? I'm like, I love fish. Back in the day, I used to eat fish and chips regularly, okay? I can't do that now, but back in the day, I said, oh, yeah, fish, marvelous. So I got the fish, and there was loads of it, and they wrapped it up in newspaper and all this kind of stuff, stuck it in the boot. Forgot about it. About 5 or 6 days later, we're in the car, and she was going, I said, I don't know what that smell is. And she said, anyway, 2 or 3 days further, and the smell was unbelievable. Rotten fish. Now, the reality is that we all know our hearts. And what the scripture says about our hearts is actually not complimentary. We know that some of the bad things that we say, they don't come out of our mouths. They come from deeper within. They come from our hearts. And so we recognize that the stuff that comes out of us sometimes is not edifying and it doesn't smell nice. And so that's why we have to make sure, as we did with my little Austin Allegro, by the way, a very undervalued car, I thought, the Austin Allegro. Probably not the most artistically designed vehicle ever, but very, very, very helpful car. We had to wash it and wash it and wash it. Do you remember it, Liv? We washed it, and of course, I did all that as a man, and then Sue goes, let me get in and do it properly. And so Sue washed it and washed it, and after about 2 weeks, that smell started to go away. Why am I saying that? It's because my brothers and sisters, people I love, we need to make sure we keep getting washed by Jesus. I have to go back to him again and again and again. Otherwise, the aroma that people actually smell is not the aroma of Christ. It's my broken humanity. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so it's not by might, it's by power. It's by the Holy Spirit as we humbly come before him and just say, would you wash me again? Would you cleanse me? Would you clean the boots out? Get the smell of that fish out of me, so that when we're rubbing shoulders with our people that God's placed us alongside, there is something of Jesus that they smell. So we're doing it because God has this remarkable love for people. And those of us who are Christian here this morning, we've received that love. Well, we want that for everybody, don't we? But the second reason we're doing this series is that many of us don't know that God can use us. And last week, I remember we were talking about wherever we are, because wherever you are, God turns an ordinary place into a holy place. He can turn a railway carriage into a cathedral. I talked about turning a taxi into a temple. See, because wherever you are, you take Jesus with you. And where Jesus is, that's a holy place. And we have this, I don't know if you've come across the sacred secular sort of writing, where we have this in our mind that actually what we do on Sunday, God is here with us because this is a sacred thing. But in your roles, in your secular roles, what you do Monday to Saturday or whatever, wherever it is, that actually God's not so interested in that. But that's absolute nonsense. God is as interested in what you do Monday to Saturday than what we're doing here. Perhaps even more so. Why? Because you are placed amongst the people that desperately need to hear the good news of Jesus. There is no such thing as an ordinary place in God's sight. Where you are, those are holy places. Where did God meet Moses? On a mountain, in a bush. And God says to Moses, take off your sandals. This is a holy place. What do we mean by front line? Let me remind ourselves of the definition from the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, who are framing this series. It says your front line could be the workplace, school, home, or neighborhood, but wherever it is, it's the place where you are aware of people that God loves and of situations where God could use you to make a difference. I just want to say that your front line is wherever you are. Wherever you are. And last week we saw that God can transform the ordinary into the holy. This week we will see that everything that we do, everything is sacred to him. So the next slide is whatever we do. Have a look at these verses. One of them was read to us a moment ago from Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. A little bit later in the chapter, we have these words. Whatever you do, repeat it again. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Whatever you do. Let's have a look at this video together.
Father, help me do good today.
I want to shape this place to your design.
Help me see the value my work has to you.
May I model your kindness and patience.
So that you are recognized.
Yeah, good.
May they know Jesus through my presence.
May they see your light as I share mine.
Give me your joy and self-control.
So that your warmth touches those I meet.
Help me to be generous.
Quick to put others first.
Sharing clearly your love and grace.
Give me words to speak about you.
And courage to stand for justice and truth.
Whatever the day brings.
In my humanity. Weakness, breakthrough.
Let my life overflow with you.
So whatever we do. Last week we started a new feature called This Time Tomorrow. And Richard very kindly came up and shared with us what his Monday morning is going to look like. This morning, I'm looking around, I'm hoping that Will is here. Is Will here? Ah, good. You sat in a different place, Will. I tell you what, I got panicky there for a moment. Coming up, grab a microphone. So I'm going to ask Will the same questions. And next weekend, we thought we'd have a lady next weekend. And next weekend, Angie's going to come and share what this time looks like tomorrow. But let me ask you the questions, Will. Tell us about where you'll be this time tomorrow.
Okay, so for context, I've got a business which does website development and digital marketing. Now, normally we work within sports, health and leisure sectors, but tomorrow morning is a privilege where I get to meet with a client who we'd call within the religious sector. So I meet with Premier, one of the largest Christian organizations, who are currently trying to grow their reach, get more people engaging with their content online. And right. I'm part of that conversation this time tomorrow.
And where will that be?
That'll be in the office in Cardiff.
Okay. Okay, great. What do you like about being in your office in Cardiff?
Those in business will know. It's up and down, right? So I love being there, but there are also days where I would sell it for a penny. I think generally speaking, the ability to have that freedom to work with clients and have an impact is what I love to do.
Okay, that's great. What about a pressure point for you in business? I can imagine there's many.
Yes. I've prayed for an eighth day in the week, but God hasn't given it yet. So I think the reality is having more time and a better guard over my time, I think, would be my prayer. But also that actually the work that my team does within the Christian sector would also have an impact on them and their daily lives.
How many people are you directly responsible for, Will?
16.
Oh, wow. Okay. What might be God's purpose for you there right now?
I think I feel anyway, it's to show that business doesn't have to be hard-nosed. It doesn't have to be black and white all the time. It doesn't have to be ruthless. And to hopefully run a business in a slightly different way, slightly more ethical, based on values, is what I feel that I'm called to do.
Okay, thank you. So how can we pray for you this morning?
I'd love prayer that I would practically use time efficiently. And then secondly, that the work that we do with clients like Premier and other things would have an impact on my team, and that the conversations that I have with them about those organizations would obviously go one step further.
Thank you. And just one last question, which you're not aware of, so forgive me. But of your staff of 16, how many of those would call themselves Christian?
None. Okay, one.
Okay. We need to pray for Will and Sam when they go home. Right, okay.
Very good point, one.
Okay. We do marriage counselling here as a church as well, so that's fantastic. Let's pray for Will, shall we, and for Sam. That's great. Father, we just want to say thank you for this just gorgeous family. Thank you, Lord, for who they are. Thank you for Will sharing with us this morning. And Lord, as he runs this business, as he's responsible for these different people, I'm sure he feels the weight of that sometimes. But we pray especially for tomorrow, as he has these conversations with Premier. Lord, may they be good. And Father, would you bless the business, bless them as a couple, as a family. Father, it's a recurring theme. Help us, we pray, to know how to prioritize time. Father, I'm sure that this is a role that he could give hours after hours to. Help Will to know, help Sam to know when to stop, when to rest, when to invest in each other. So Lord, bless them. Thank you for them. And we say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much, Will. I think we gave Richard a clap last week, so let's do the same thing. Thank you. One of our children runs his own business as well, and so I'm just very aware. I'm just very aware of the pressures and the tensions and whatever. But whatever you do, whether it's high-tech and complex, at the moment that Will starts talking about computers, I sort of glaze over, I must be honest, as Richard would know, who looks after tech and things at church. He knows that after about three words, I'm lost. Do you know what I mean? So I thank God for the people, actually, who look after the tech and whatever. But whatever your role is, I want you to know that God sees it as significant. You are significant. And so whatever you do is going to be significant for our God. And what we do, Monday to Saturday, please hear this, that is as much worship in God's sight than what we're doing now. You see, worship is, of course it includes singing, but worship is our life laid out before the Lord. And for most of you, your life revolves around a place that's not here. Kingdom significance in the places that we work. I must be honest, I count it a great privilege at being your pastor. And I've been a pastor for a lot of years, you know that. But I actually miss an awful lot of the cut and thrust of when I was in finance. And I had far more opportunities to actually share my faith when I was in finance than I do as a minister, interestingly. So my role now, as I see it, partly obviously is to love you and to feed you and to guide you and to protect you. You know that. But part of it is for us to inspire one another to go out and be that salt and light wherever we are. And so you on your front line doing the sharing, some of the sharing that I used to do when I was in finance. Let me just share you one little story. I'd often, as part of my role, I would take out business people for lunch. And it was a nice perk for me to be able to take them out for lunch. But what we had a habit then, and we still have the habit, of before we eat our food, we say grace. And so I remember taking this mortar dealer out. He was up in Gainsborough in Lincolnshire. And so anyway, we'd ordered food, and the food arrived. And I just bowed my head. I don't sort of get down on my knees to say my grace and say it out loud and whatever. I just bowed my head. And as I did that very quietly, the mortar dealer said to me, "What are you doing, counting your chips?" Which I thought was really funny. But what came from that then is I was able to say to him, "Well, actually, no, I'm not counting my chips, but actually they are a bit paltry, these servings, aren't they?" I was actually saying thank you to God for the food. And he went, "Oh, I had no idea you were a religious nut." For the next hour, we never talked about business. He wanted to know about my faith. Now, I must be honest, I never won the business, and I'm not sure if he ever came through to the Lord. But actually, that hour, those were hallowed moments. And tomorrow, even today, often we have no idea about the people that we're going to meet, the conversations that we're going to have. But I want you to know that God really cares about these meetings and these moments. They're significant. Whatever we do. And I'm not sure if Reese will know this person, but I'm going to talk about a man called Andrew Walker down in Tynmouth. Reese and I were part of the same church at different times. Reese had left before I arrived there as associate minister. But Andrew Walker was, I'm not quite sure what his title was, but he would go around and he would pick up litter. And from my office, I could see into the car park. It was a lovely view. See into the car park. And I was just noticed that Andrew was out in the car park. And I loved Andrew. Because Andrew was one of those kind of people. When you saw him, the world just felt better. Do you know the kind of people I meant? Like, he was this ray of sunshine. He really was. And anyway, so I'm seeing Andrew, and he's got this little gadget that he's got to pick up litter, and he's putting it into this bag. And then I saw him getting down on his belly in the car park to reach under a car because he'd spotted some litter. Nobody was watching what he was doing. He could easily have ignored that and just done his job and gone around and done it. But no, he wanted to do it to the best of his ability. And you know what I discovered was that we had the great privilege of living in a seaside resort for nearly 10 years. Was that as you got talking to some of the holidaymakers who'd come back year and year again. One of the things they were looking forward to was, yes, the ice cream on the pier, but secondly, meeting Andrew. Because he brought so much joy to them. Whatever we do. I don't know if you've come across a monk called Brother Lawrence. He was in the 17th century, a French guy. For English people here this morning, sorry for mentioning the word France. Anyway, that's an in-joke for rugby supporters. A remarkable man. He was never going to lead any mission or anything like that. He spent a lot of the time in the kitchen just doing the dishes for the other monks. But this is a quote that I just love from him. He says, "We ought not to be weary of doing little things for the love of God, who regards not the greatness of the work, but the love with which it is performed." Whatever we do. Just a little bit more wisdom from Brother Lawrence. He writes that the most excellent method which he had found of going to God was that of doing our common business without any view of pleasing men, and as far as capable, purely for the love of God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Doing everything purely for the love of God. What an approach to life. You know, I was trying to think about what some of you do. We have people who do all sorts of things. We have teachers. We have nurses. We have doctors. We have lawyers. We have engineers. We have civil servants. We have builders. We have foster carers. We have accountants. We have homemakers. We have retired folk. We have managers. And the list goes on. But whatever we do, we can do it purely for the love of God. And when that happens, it can transform our attitude to the work that we do, but it also brings a different aroma to the people that we work amongst. God has called you, whatever you do, to honor him in your life, as he's called Sue and me to honor him in our lives. And as Paul says elsewhere, we represent him. And try and get your head around this. You are called by God ambassadors. Now I'm looking around and I'm conscious that some people in this congregation have actually had that kind of role. You think, oh my goodness. It's a significant role because you're representing your state. We are representing Jesus. We are to be his mouths, his hands, his feet. Have a look at verse 12 to 14 with me again. Because remember I was talking earlier about we need to make sure that we're washing the boot out, to make sure that that sort of smell that's not of God in us is actually not noticeable. Well, this is what Colossians 3:12 says. It says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." I'm going to suggest to you that there's something incredibly attractive about a life like that. When people see that in us, when people see that in our church, people will want to join it. But God has called you, God has called me, to be out there amongst the people, whatever we do, to be that holy presence. So that when they hear our words, there's something that has been refined by our Savior himself. That when they see our reactions, they'll think, there's something different. There's something good about that person. That's whether we are a rocket scientist or whether we're a cleaner. Where we're starting off in our business life or where we're retired. Whatever we do is sacred in God's economy. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for the significance that you see in every one of us. Lord, we don't see that in us. So often, Lord, we're just so aware of what we're not, we forget what we are. But we thank you, Lord, that you see us and you delight in us. Father, may that truth grow in our hearts today. And as we mix with people, may they, as they did it in the New Testament, recognize that we've been spending time with Jesus. We pray this in his precious name. Amen. Well, just as we finish our time together, I think my prayer for me and my prayer for you is may we this week grow a little in confidence that God delights to use us. And maybe when we come together next weekend, let's share with one another about those surprises about God creates, because we've dared to pray the prayer in the morning, Lord, use me wherever and whatever I do. So, Father, thank you for every person that's here, all the people that's online, everybody who sees Tabs as their spiritual home. Lord, would you particularly bless your people this week? Would you encourage them? Would you give them hope? And Father, where there's healing required, Lord, bring about your healing. Lord, where there's distance in relationship, bring us closer together. Because we want to see Jesus lifted high. And so, Father, wherever we are, whatever we do this week, may we lift you high. But may we also talk about you. Create those moments for us, Lord. And help us to take a big gulp and then graciously dare to speak about the one who's changed our lives for eternity. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.